So at this time, if there's any questions, I'd rather hear what's on your mind instead of continue to give you the passion that I have for what I want to do.
How well do you think you can relate to the city portion of the district on the south side?
Could you ask your questions over here, because it's going to be very difficult.
Well, the question was, how do I relate to the city portion of this district? Well, I relate because of my good old-fashioned shoe leather. I've already been to the city, and I have people working for me. They're passing petitions out on 98th and Avenue H. I've met with them. I've been there. I was there last night, and people are so excited that there is someone that is going to be there to listen. And to talk about the issues is probably too early right now there, because I need to be there, listen, and walk the door-to-door with the people, because that's what I did back in 1996 when I walked door-to-door, and the senator that I beat, who was the assistant majority leader, he was there for 19 years, his campaign manager said then, we knew Debbie was going to win because their candidate knew all the bank presidents, but Debbie knew all the tellers. That's the kind of campaign I'm going to run again.
Talked about ethical concerns. Perhaps you could list some. I mean, the federal government hasn't indicted Congressman Jackson for anything. He testified in the Bogoyevich trial. It seems as though he's held harmless there. What are some of the ethical concerns that you believe he has that might be interfering with his ability to represent the second district?
Well, I'm going to leave that up to you guys.
No.
Because I'm going to... Okay, here's the thing. He's got distractions. He's up before the House Committee of Ethics. He's been listed as one of the 15 most corrupt members of Congress, and the House Ethics Committee has him under investigation. It's up to them to then take that under consideration.
Debbie, in order for you to be successful at winning the second district, considerable amount of the black vote. Congressman Jackson has had that locked up since being in office. How do you propose on cracking into the black vote, which you need to win?
Oh, absolutely. And when I was a state senator, I represented Thornton, Bloom, and Rich Township. And I've always had a considerable amount of support from all ethnic backgrounds. And I don't see that changing. And as people get to know me better and see what kind of person I am, and the fact that I'm home, I raise my family here. I don't raise my family and live in Washington, D.C. They want somebody that's going to work hard for them and be there for them.
You're suggesting that he doesn't live here?
Oh, I will tell you. I'm not suggesting. He lives in Washington, D.C. He raises his family in Washington, D.C. He does not come home. I am here, and I know from my other 2 years in Congress, the second votes were done, I came home on the weekends. I worked on the weekends, and I spent every spare moment home where I live.
You mentioned the airport during your years in the state Senate and Congress. What did you do to move the airport project forward?
When I was in Congress and in the state Senate, which, mind you, that airport was in my district, we tried to negotiate. We sat everybody down and told people that this needs to happen in the right way. It's not about my way or the highway, which is what the congressman really has done. He doesn't have any interest in negotiating. He wants to control it and make it an issue. We need to sit everybody down and make sure everybody has a seat at the table and that it is done right, that we make sure that it's done with complete transparency and that it gets done and there is economic development for the entire area.
Congressman, you registered as a lobbyist with the state this summer. Are you going to do any lobbying during the veto session?
I plan on doing some. My clients are alternative energy companies, and we've got some really good issues that we need to do about bringing jobs to the area. And so a lot of people may think that the word lobbyist is a bad word. I guess it all depends on who you lobby for, and we've got some really good things that we need to bring jobs to do. But I have no intentions on actually lobbying the members of the legislature. We have jobs that we need to do to bring back to the district. And when it comes to alternative energy, people are hurting. People need to find ways to lower their electric and their gas bills. And that's what I'm trying to help the municipalities and the people in the district to do.
So what agencies are you
involved? Well, actually, if you want to look them up, Blue Star Energy.
What agencies?
index.
Except you're not going to lobby members of the legislature.
You know, when you are a consultant or a lobbyist, what you do is you go there to be available if people need to talk to you. What I want to make sure is that I'm there and available to talk to people with regards to the issues of bringing down people's electric and gas prices. So I can't say now who and what, because I don't really know till I get there.
So you may lobby?
I may. Oh, absolutely. And again, we need to remember the word lobbyist isn't a bad name. I would call it a consultant, but when you have an opportunity to go out there and consult, you have no choice but to register just in case you may talk to somebody.
The fact that you don't have a lot of the usual suspects here, the Democratic Party hierarchy, mm-hmm. and you're basically taking on the party here.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you tell us about that and how you reconciled or decided to do that and why and did you consider running as an independent to maybe circumvent that issue?
Oh, I thought about it long and hard, and what I decided was that this is the best thing. I'm working for the people, not the party. And people are sick and tired of money and party running everything. And the final decision point was this is about the people. And finally, there's a candidate out there that is not going to owe anybody. You know, if the congressman talks about this, all he says is this $900 million that he brought back to the district over the time that he's been there. Well, you know what? This has been what he's done to gain all this party loyalty amongst all the leaders. You know what? Let's talk about where did that not, I don't see a job that came from any of it, but it's been doled out to the party leadership or maybe the mayors to gain that loyalty. I don't see a thing that the people have gotten from that. I'm here for the people to make sure we create jobs, and somebody's got to work for the people.
Are you disappointed that some of the friends that you've made down through the years and didn't come out?
Absolutely not. In fact, it's kind of refreshing. Because I'm not going to owe a soul, and this is going to be a different campaign. And the other thing that's wrong with Congress is you have to sit in a room raising money all day long and not get out there with the people. I'm not going to do that. You know, if I raise the money and if I don't, it's going to be because people want to give it to me. I'm going to be out there with good old-fashioned shoe leather. And I am refreshed that the people of the party aren't with me, and they don't have a say in what I do throughout this entire campaign. These next 6 months are going to be about me, my grassroots support, and my friends who are going to introduce me to other people and give me the opportunity from morning to night as I go from place to place with my friends.
You filed with the FEC in September. Mm-hmm. How much have you raised?
I haven't raised anything, but I have approximately $200,000 in my account. It's open for anybody to see the exacts, because I did not want to raise money until I knew I was going to do this, because it wouldn't be fair to anybody to take their money and then decide not to do this.
Do you have pledge donations?
I do. I think we have pledges of almost $100,000, and all in very small amounts.
Where did the $200,000 come from?
That was left over from my last campaign.
How much money do you think you need to raise to put together a serious challenge?
I think we are trying to put a budget together, and I would imagine, you know, give or take $500,000. And I'll be outspent, way outspent, you know, and I know that. But this is not new to me. This is really what's happened to me over many elections. But it's okay. This is the way this is me. People just need to know the real me.
If you're not successful and you don't win, what's next for Democracy?
There's no time to think about that. I'm spending every spare moment of my day for the next 6 months to win this primary.
Who are these people behind you? Can you give some kind
These are a lot of course, everybody knows my husband and my friends from, we've got Kankakee, we've got Steger, we've got, in fact, Johnny O, he's my cousin down the line. But we've got Glenwood, Chicago.
Juliet, Glenwood.
Where are you from?
Juliet.
Yeah, oh my gosh, Pastor Doris. So, I mean, everybody, you're from Chicago Heights, right? No, Dalton.
I'm in Homewood now.
Homewood now. Look, a little bit from everywhere across the entire district. And of course, you should be up here.
I was late.
But I have friends from everywhere, and there's a few that couldn't be here that wanted to be, but they're going to be around throughout the campaign. Come on, you guys. But this has been the most refreshing. You don't know what it's like to have the old Debbie back. And I think that's what my friends are excited about.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Challenges for the second district that you see that if elected, you plan on tackling?
Jobs and unemployment. Number one, two, three, four, and five. And this president is going to need help. Yeah, we can't have a congressman out there who is bashing the president, who is talking against his jobs bill, who votes against things that are important to him. The people of the 2nd Congressional District elect their congressman who's going to go to D.C. to support the president, at least this one. It's ridiculous to think, and I think that's what is putting us over the edge here. Nobody sends a congressman that they support to Washington who's not going to support the president.
Debbie, how does that gel with your, I mean, that's a statement of universal support for everything the president does. How does that gel with your statement about being an independent and not backed by the party?
I'm not backed by the party, and there are things that the president and I may disagree on. However, when there are major things, when it comes to jobs, I don't see how anybody could disagree with that.
What plans do you have to bring jobs to the second district?
Well, first of all, I voted for the stimulus bill the very first time when I got there. Now, granted, it wasn't big enough, but that is something that we have to do. You can't wait for something that's big enough. You got to vote for it now and get it started. We need to have somebody out there with job fairs. We need someone out there who's there on the weekends who can be there to bring people in. I had money that, like I said, in Joliet, and my Joliet friends can attest, the $10,000 to $15,000 jobs at Center Point, that if you went out to look at that intermodal, we are the inland port of the country. Everything comes into this area. We were able to bring 10,000 jobs there. We need to do the same thing up in Chicago. Everything comes into Chicago, and then it's halfway out, halfway to the East Coast, halfway to the West Coast. Those jobs need to come here. And when I was in Congress, I saw the same dollars being fought for the southern part of the country. You know, here we think everything's being fought for different parts of Illinois. Things are being fought for different parts of the country, because there are parts of this country that are right-to-work states, and there are businesses that don't want to hire. They're sitting on corporate dollars. You can't have that. So we need to be fighting for things here. And you can't take no for an answer. And that's why when people just let things go because they're not here to care or understand what's going on, we're just not going to take it anymore.
When Adam Kinzinger defeated you, he hammered you for not coming out and talking to residents, not holding town hall meetings. When you reflect on that now, what are your thoughts on that?
I reflect on that, and I held town hall meetings, but not enough. If I had it to do over again, I probably would have tried to figure out how to put more hours in the day and did more each day. If you take a look at my old 11th Congressional District, it went from Indiana to Iowa and down to Bloomington Normal. You couldn't get anywhere in that district in enough time, and unlike all of you, there was no TV coverage. So nobody knew that I was doing a town hall meeting in Bureau County or Bloomington up in New Lenox. So you could pound me for all you want, and I was still doing them. So here, we've got cohesion. You can get anywhere in my district, and I'm going to be there. I'm starting next week. I'm going to be doing all of the L stops and sitting down with people. I've got a meeting already out in Haguish. Oh, hi, Mike. Debbie Halverson. I love my husband, but everybody knows me as Debbie Halverson.
So there's a little confusion in terms of the...
My Twitter... Right. My original Twitter was D. Halverson Bush, but just so everybody knows, my political Twitter, Debbie Halverson.
Okay.
That's the one you have to use.
Okay. Can you address, his allies? I was talking to a couple of his allies this morning, and they say the reason that the airport is stalled, or... You're part of the reason. You were nothing but an obstructionist. You were playing footsie with the Will County opponents, and that's what stalled the year.
Well, I don't see how that could be, because he's been saying that this is his pet project for 15 years. It's not built.
were certainly aligned with opponents.
No, I was not. I have been aligned with Will County being at the table. Now, if he wants to call those opponents, God bless him, I will stand toe-to-toe to that.
And you opposed his ALNAC structure.
Absolutely, and you want to know why? The reason I oppose that ALNAC structure, he could say all he wants, put Will County people at the table, but he has his home rule people, Bensonville, Elk Grove Village, Park Forest, and University Park, that have veto power. It's called veto power. Guess what that means? That means no matter what Will County has to say, his group can veto it. Now, I don't see how that's fair. So he can say all he wants, oh, come on, we'll put a majority of Will County people on all ALNAC, but if we don't agree, we will veto that.
Okay, so let me set all that aside.
Okay.
So what's the plan? Obviously, the economy's in the tank, and maybe we're heading to another recession
mm-hmm.
here. There certainly is a little bit of money out of the capital plan, but mm-hmm. not nearly enough.
No, there isn't.
So is it just a hoop of pipe dream?
No, let me tell you what the plan is. Plan is jobs now. We can't just keep having only the airport. He has only the airport. I've already got money in for the Ileana. That is going to bring about jobs now as we build that road. We need jobs now. People are sick and tired of hearing about an airport for 15 years that are not bringing jobs now. The airport is important. We've got to get that done. But we need other projects to go right along with it. I've already got money to this area about high-speed rail. We've got to get that going. But there's transportation, infrastructure, and other things that are going to bring jobs now. We cannot put everything in just one project.
Mitch Daniel seems to think that Illinois is going to make the Ileana, on the Illinois side, Ileana is going to be a toll road.
It could possibly have to be. But we don't know that for sure. It's not to that point yet.
So when are we going to get some jobs out of Ileana?
Well, I'm not the congressman right now. You need to talk to Adam Kinzinger, who's the congressman right now, who's dropped the ball.
And tell me about the NRA.
And I have been, absolutely. I have...
Say you're miss guns.
You know what?
You're out of sync.
And you know what? Guns don't kill, criminals do. And what we need to realize is the fact that we need to protect people from the criminals who get the guns no matter what. And I was with the McDonald, on McDonald's side, a wonderful African-American man who had his rights taken away, and he tried to protect himself. We need education about guns, and that's where I stand, and that's the thing that I think is misrepresented here. And we need to further that education because, again, criminals, no matter what the law is, a criminal will always find a way to get a gun.
What's your... plan for help getting funding for the proposed red line extension from 95th Street to 130th?
I'm working with the mayor, and because that is one of his top projects also, and it is, if we can get the Republicans out from controlling Congress, we probably could get the money put back in. They cut it out, and that's been our problem right now. We need a congressman who's going to fight that. You know, the Republicans have cut in Congress, and they've removed all the funding. They removed the funding for high-speed rail. They've removed the funding for the red line. It's ridiculous. So we've got to start making sure that we fight that Republican control in Congress.
Have you talked to the mayor?
I haven't personally, but I've talked to several of his people that work for him.
Would you like his endorsement?
No, I haven't gotten anybody, so we don't want just one. And it's not fair to ask for anybody's at this point. I'm not going to put anybody in that position. I like being... just my friends and I at this point.
So let me ask you this question. In terms of, you're obviously from the Creek area,
mm-hmm.
Over down here. And why should those of us who live on the south side of Chicago want you? Congressman Jackson is a south sider.
Well, but I represent the south side. I come home. I represented that area when I was a state senator. I represented Thornton, Bloom, Rich Township in my first 6 years of being a state senator, and I'm going to be the one that's home on the weekends to sit and listen to you about what your issues are. He doesn't come home. He lives in D.C. That's where he's raising his family. That's where he lives.
And why is that a bad thing?
Because the people are sick and tired of it. They don't see him. They want to see him, and they don't.
Of course, his wife, the alderman in the 7th Ward on the south side, they would say, we're the political family. They're certainly the first political family on the south side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it's a shame that rumor has it that she lives in D.C. too. You know, I think people need to realize that there is a huge problem here of complacency and lack of understanding about the people. You know, and sometimes that happens after 15 years. And there's time for a change. And there's time for a change for someone who cares, somebody who listens, somebody who was brought up in the district, who grew up, who raised their family, and who still lives here. And somebody who's known to work hard and has a great work ethic. And that's where I'm going to be. And, you know, I'm going to let the voters decide.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. I appreciate you being here.
Good job.
All right. Thank you, guys.